thank everybody that signed my birthday card yesterday. Thank you so much, and for the gifts, and especially to Wendy and Wes for putting on the special birthday party for me. It was one of the best birthday parties I've had in a long time, and thank you so much.
Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Waiting for the pews to fill up. Let's stand and sing. We have come into this house, gathered in His name to worship Him. Musicians, come.
We have come into this house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house, gathered in His name, to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Let us lift up our hands. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name. Is all my righteousness. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete. Stand complete in Him and worship Him. Just confess that you're complete this morning. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship. I stand complete in Him. Worship Christ the Lord. Worship Christ. He is all my righteousness, and we're complete in Him this morning. He is. Sing it with all your heart. Stand complete in Him, and I worship Him. Let's worship Him this morning. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him.
righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Christ the Lord.
Let's confess it again. He is all my righteousness.
Stand complete in Him, and I worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him, and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand
Let's forget about ourselves.
So forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Christ the Lord.
Praise God. Is there a roving mic? I was wondering, Sister Flo, if you would open the service in prayer. They'll bring a microphone to you. Praise God.
We thank you for this camp gathering. We thank you for giving us this day of showers.
Yes.
Which is much needed in some areas.
Yes.
And now we thank you, Father, for being in our midst here.
Yes.
And for answering prayer.
Yes. Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. I feel to describe last night as a happy family reunion where everybody was rejoicing in the blessings of God that we saw in one another. And if you were blessed, just say amen.
Amen.
It was such a joy. We have a couple of prayer requests while we're in this state of blessing. Let's share that blessing with these needs. This is a prayer request submitted by Heather Gray from Grand Junction. And the request is for a friend of hers whose father went missing in war many years ago. There have always been rumors that his father and others were taken prisoners of war. Just when he puts his mind to rest in trying to believe that his father died, a news report will come out that he and the other soldiers may still be alive and held captive. I wish to request prayer for my friend to know the truth, that God will reveal the truth without question to him and his family. My friend does not know Jesus, but had faith enough to request for me to bring this prayer forward on his behalf. Please pray also for him and his wife to come to know Christ. I wonder, Sister Sunbow, would you mind praying for that need with that man who's in agony, and we'll bring the microphone to you again. We're going to need the roving mics this morning, perhaps. So.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, that we can come and worship you this AM, Father. We have so many things to be thankful for. Just help us that our hearts might be truly thankful and offer praise and thanksgiving unto you. We remember this man and his family, dear Lord, this morning. The heartbreak that he feels within himself, dear Lord. You know all about him, Father. And we pray that the truth will be revealed to him, dear Lord. You can do this. It doesn't, to our minds, it doesn't sound easy. But all things are possible with you, Father.
Hallelujah.
And we pray that you will do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Brother Alex, would you... Brother Alex here, would you pray for Wes again this morning? Wes is in the hospital with having had the heart valves replaced and still having rhythm problems, and we need a breakthrough for him.
Jesus, you promised that when you had to leave your disciples, you would take Truth the Comforter. And the Holy Spirit does more than just comfort. The Holy Spirit can regulate.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit can minister in ways that doctors and humans cannot. Mm-hmm. I ask you to come supernaturally through the Holy Spirit and you, Jesus, and you, Father God, that you might be able to reach inside and reset his heart to a regular rhythm of your ocean. Oceans to me represent rhythm. And I ask you humbly to have the sea move in his chest. And thank you, Father. I praise you for having the forethought to tell the doctors to set a pacemaker to one side. Because that relies on everything that it can be offered, everything that's in nature and science that will help raise him up and bring him back. His family needs him, and his friends need him. And I've come to have a heart for him. So please be with him and the other men that are still overseas that have not been able to come home. Situations sometimes dictate that they are gone and with their father. Other times they are held captive like the Jews in Egypt. It can't be discerned by normal minds. It has to come through the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So please give that man that's wanting to know about his pop the gift of discernment so that he will know yes or no. There sometimes isn't comfort in that gift, but also I've been given revelation in my life over my mother in certain situations that happened in my family that didn't give me information. So I do trust the Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, and teach me and take me to who he would have me be.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. While we're standing, I'd like us to sing. Yes, Myrna.
Could you also pray for Virginia? She's under the weather this morning. She had to prepare for as well.
Yes, okay. Would you take that request, please, Myrna? Just ask the Lord.
Dear Lord, give Virginia strength and make her well so that she comes back to the service. She was feeling under the weather last night, so give her health and strength and so that she can come back to church and join into the congregation again. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you stand amazed today in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner? How does that go? Sinner, condemned, unclean. Could we sing that, please? How many of you know the verse and then the chorus? Oh, not a lot. You will soon fix that. Stand amazed. How marvelous. How wonderful. We'll just sing the one verse in the chorus. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. Sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How many of you would like to sing that one again? How many? Amen. We're going to anyway. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? It tells the whole gospel in a nutshell about how wonderful our Lord, how marvelous, how wonderful. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned. Got it. God is so wonderful. I would have to go back and stand there to remember it. God is so wonderful.
God is so wonderful. I can explain. I can say.
God is so wonderful.
God is so wonderful. I can't explain, but I can say, glory, hallelujah, praise His holy.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful because He saved me. It's wonderful that He forgave me. It's wonderful, wonderful, so very wonderful, wonderful that He is mine. God is so wonderful, I can explain, I can say, glory, hallelujah, praise His holy.
I cast on Him.
Cast on Him my every burden, lay at His feet my every care. It's wonderful, wonderful, so very wonderful, wonderful that He is mine.
Okay, just before we sing in the chorus again, I'd like you to shake hands with your neighbors and confess that He's wonderful. God is so wonderful.
I can't explain, but I can say, glory, I can say,
don't get carried away. Praise the Lord. I think we just get so much blessing in the presence of God from one another.
Amen.
Isn't there just a river that flows? Praise God. I'd like you to be seated. I think if Wes and Wendy would stand by a little bit later. The other musicians, thank you very much for now. I'd like to share a couple of things before we kind of return to the whatever God has next for us. Just want to tell you a little story. I want to talk about prophecy a little bit, prophesying in the local church. And I think maybe I'll ask for a show of hands. How many feel to prophesy but doubt it's from God and they're worried about that? Yeah, it's common, isn't it? But I want to tell you a story about a young man named Larry Berg. I was about 19 and he was 16. And he came to Young People's in North Battleford over the New Year's and didn't know the Lord, and as far as I know was not raised with any Christian background. Don't know if there was even a Bible in his house. But he came to the altar and had a wonderful experience, accepted Christ as his Savior, and was just bubbling. And if you knew Larry, you'd know that that was his nature too. He just was bubbling with his new experience in the Lord. And on the way out of the service, we ran into Brother Wager, and Brother Wager was rejoicing with Larry, and he said to Larry, you know, there's more. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Larry said, I want it all. And so we prayed for him right there. And I want you to note this, that a young man who maybe had never opened a Bible began to prophesy Scripture. And he prophesied and said these things, I'll never forget it. He said, this day the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one soul that is saved. I forget exactly how he quoted it, but it was pertaining to that Scripture. So I hope that builds confidence in you that God is at work when the spirit of prophecy is at work in us. Sonia, that may have been the same weekend that we all drove home to Park Valley. Is it okay if I tell the story and include you in it? It was somewhere between 30 and 40 below. Very bitter, bitter cold. It was dark, which it often is in the evenings in northern Canada. And we were driving home. I think I was the driver. It might have been the old green Meteor for the Hannigans. We were just rejoicing. There was such a presence of God. We were laughing and rejoicing and singing and just still riding on that wonderful blessing. And I suppose I was driving about 30 or 40 miles an hour on a grid road back near a reservation as we headed home. And it was one of those nights when the headlights wouldn't penetrate the darkness. They just seemed like they were just a couple feet ahead of the car. And suddenly we came to a T in the road at that speed. And my recollection is I had no time to steer, no time to hit the brakes. We just were headed into the ditch. But God had another plan. And at the same moment where we were heading east, we were heading north. Without any centrifugal force, without anybody being pinned against the right side of the car, it's like God made that T in the road, the center of the earth, and he just turned it 90 degrees. I don't know how he did it. I've been in the ditch since then and before, but that night God had a plan, and I'll have to listen to the tape to find out what I said. Yeah. But, you know, it was marvelous what God did. He didn't want us to go in the ditch that night. And it would have been dangerous. Probably we would have survived. But I thank God for that. But the Spirit of God is mighty. Since God poured out His Spirit in 1948, Christians the world over have been entering into prophecy. And it seems that is one of the ways that God moves in the church to bring a lot of the things that He has in mind so that the church can benefit. And there's four ways that it benefits. But if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13 briefly. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 14. And the first verse begins, if you'll bear with me, I'll read while you're looking. 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And then it talks about speaking in tongues and the value of it in private and how careful we need to be with speaking in tongues in a speaking manner in a congregation. But how important it is that we speak in tongues to edify ourselves. That's the main focus for why we speak in tongues, is so that our gifts and our ministries have that energy of the Holy Spirit. It says, I wish you all spoke in tongues in verse 5, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. And it goes on to speak more about it. But it says in this chapter, and most of you are familiar with it, that there are four things that are accomplished when there's prophecy in the local church. There's edification, which is the word that's constructed from the word edifice, which means to build, to edify, to exhort. And you can consider the track meet where a coach is encouraging the runner to do his best, and that's what will happen with prophecy, is we get coached by the Holy Spirit to, I'm going to do more, I'm going to yield myself more to the Lord and let Him work in me, when we hear prophecy. And comfort, and many times we are in need of comfort. Many times we are battered by the time we get to church. We've had things happen in our week that we need some healing to happen, and that's what happens with prophecy, is there's a comfort there that comes. And then it says that you all may learn. There's a learning, there's a revelation of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus Christ and of the plan of God, and we learn many things through prophecy. So here's the thing that we all contend with, because I imagine that there are various characteristics and natures among you here. And some of you may have decided that you will never prophesy publicly. But I want you to consider that the scripture here says that all may prophesy one by one. And so if your nature is a bit on the timid side, we just want to encourage you to ignore that and enter in. Even if you don't end up speaking, enter in. Because if you've determined that you're not going to ever prophesy, it may put up a block there so that you won't listen to the prophecies at all. And you won't be able to get the most out of it. Does that make sense? And so if we comply with the Spirit of God and enter into what He's doing, the chances are we'll be edified, exhorted, comforted, and we will learn. And perhaps at some point you'll feel that urge and that courage to prophesy. Young people and children, it's not at all unheard of for 10-year-olds to be prophesying under the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to put pressure on our children, but don't think that you're disqualified from that. God may speak to you and ask you to just say a few words. There was a 10-year-old boy who was in a meeting and the spirit of prophecy was on him, and he said three words. He said, God loves you. And he said it by the Holy Spirit. And there was a man in there who had fought against God for many years, and it broke through in him. And he broke down, gave his life to Christ just by that child voicing those words. And God chose that child to be the Ananias for Saul, so to speak, and to help him through. So we want to not resist prophecy. It was mentioned early in the week that we are not to despise prophesying. Don't even worry about the language that's used. Some people read a lot of the King James and their prophecy will have that language, and that's okay. Some people will have more of the modern English. It doesn't matter. It's the spirit in which we give it that matters. So we're judging the spirit, and we're judging that's all we judge. And in an atmosphere like this, it just is almost without fail that everybody just prophesies perfectly, just exactly what God wants. It's maybe simple, and that's fine. What I'd like to say, if God so happened to move that way this morning, those of you who are veterans, just limit yourself so that there's room for others. Okay, do you understand that? I guess I grew up watching, sorry to put it this way, it's kind of a blunt way of saying it, but I saw the cows on the farm, and I noticed the big ones would bunt the little ones out of the way to get to the feed. And sometimes we just forget that there are little ones needing to learn. And so in the body of Christ, we might hold back a little bit. There are three levels of expression of prophecy mentioned in the scripture. There is the ministry of a prophet. And that's where an individual, it can be a man or a woman, can have a tremendous leaning towards prophecy. And that gift is almost the major part of how they operate in the realm of the Spirit. And so that's a prophetic ministry. And Philip, the one who was transported from the eunuch and to a different part of Israel, I believe his daughters were called prophetesses. And they were noted for their gift. I want to tell you this, that the way God has been leading our little group is that we tend not to put names and titles on people and say, oh, that's a prophet and that's a pastor and so forth, because we don't want to either limit their ministry, nor do we want to give occasion to the flesh where there might be pride. So rather than be very definitive, we let the Holy Spirit just operate in them without the definition. So there's the ministry of a prophet. Then there's the gift of prophecy. And there will be many in a local church or in a congregation like this who, when they were prophesied over, or even before they're prophesied over, that gift begins to well up and they begin to find some freedom in prophecy. Those who have a prophetic ministry find they prophesy readily, and those with a gift of prophecy also enter in readily. And then there's the anointing of prophecy that rests on a local church or a camp meeting like this, where all may prophesy. And it isn't related to the gift necessarily, it's related to the anointing that's on the congregation and God leading. So that's kind of a nutshell of the wonderful gift of prophecy that God has given us in the last years, and it's happening around the world. People are entering in. We often look at the story in Ezekiel of the Valley of Dry Bones and how God asked Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones. Can these bones live? Can they be one army? Can the church be one? Prophesy, saints of God. Prophesy. It accomplishes far more than we know. When we prophesy, we've been told that message doesn't just stay where it's being heard. It actually goes out into the earth. Hearts are prepared. That's why when we go places, we'll find hearts already ready for the message of the gospel of the kingdom, because God has gone out and he's working on the dry bones wherever they are, and causing them to be one army, praise his name. So it's a wonderful privilege to prophesy. But I thought maybe we would just stand again, and if Wes and Wendy would come, they have a song to share, and we'll just see what God will do. We'll just spend some time worshiping. So if you would stand, please. And Wendy's going to lead us in a song, but if you already know it, just sing along. And we're going to spend enough time singing it that we learn it.
just before we sing that again, we'll get it in a little higher pitch. We'll increase the tempo a little bit and just worship Him with all our hearts. For Thou, O Lord, art high. Congregation, just raise your voice in worship.
Thank you. Lift up your hands and look to me. I will direct you. Keep your eyes on me. Think not of yourself and worship me. against his foe. Yea, his heart was fixed unto his God, and he didn't listen to the shouts of the enemy around him. He didn't listen to the armies of the enemy, but he looked straight up, oh, to his God. The same, do not listen to the cries of your enemy bothering you around you, but look up to your God. Are a sweet, sweet sound in the ears of our God. The voices of the church are a sweet, sweet sound in the ears of our God. Lift up your voices to your God. Lift up your voices to your God. For they are such a sweet sound to your God.
Yea, saith the Lord, all things that I have for you are excellent. I will not withhold any good thing from you. But as you yield to me, it is like a flower opening to the sun. I can pour more in. Therefore, open your heart, open your mind to the Lord your God, for I have good things for you today. Listen to my instructions, for I will bless your ears and your heart, and I will refresh you with peace, and I will satisfy you with every good thing, saith the Lord.
I say, do not look to the left or to the right, but seek my face. Whenever you question things or wonder about things, go to my word and seek out godly wisdom. Go to your elders and they will guide you wisely. But seek me first and I will calm your spirit and I will speak to your soul.
Hallelujah. Yes, God.
For surely you are weak, but look not on thy weakness, but look on the strength of thy God. For surely this is the day that he will turn thee from thy weakness to his strength. Amen. Thou shalt be strong in the Lord. Yea, David was but a child, and he was weak, but he looked not on his own weakness, but he looked on the strength of his God. Yea, deny not thy God the things that he would do in thee by dwelling on thy own weakness, but yea, dwell on his strength, saith the Lord, and thou shalt surely be that work and do that work that he desires of thee.
Yes, Lord.
Come, one another, comfort one another. There are many who are in the valley of sorrow, in the valley of despair, and who are very weak. Ye who are strong in the might of the Lord, comfort one another, that they all may be raised up a mighty army.
Yes.
I've given you direction, my yes. children. You are my people. And in my word it says that you see but through a glass darkly. In my word it also says that one day you'll behold me face to face.
Yes.
But I tell you now, my children, that you have beheld me, that you see my face, that when the Spirit is moving and when you enter in, you've seen the Lord. Don't doubt that. Don't worry about the glass or whether it is dark. But take the responsibility to enter into my way, that you may reflect my face for others to see as well. For I leave this to you, my children. I leave this in your word, in my word for you, my children, that when you enter in, when you obey the Spirit, you see in the face of God.
Praise God.
Hey, my beloved, my kingdom is for you. Yea, I long to lift you up. I long to draw you close to me, saith the Lord, that we might walk together. For my kingdom is before me, and I am calling you to walk with me. We will walk together in those Elysian fields. They will walk together where there is peace and joy and rest. For my kingdom is righteousness, peace and joy, saith the Lord. And I long to impart of my love and my grace to men and women everywhere. So as I become your King, your Lord, your guide, my life will flow forth from you unto those around about you. So let them know of my love, of thy grace, that I have much for them that the world has not to offer. Yea, my kingdom is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Yea, you may all prophesy one by one in the word, as the word declares, that all may be edified. Yea, my people, fear not to prophesy those things that I put upon your heart even now. Yea, you do prophesy in part, that is understood, but you have also been instructed to prophesy according to the proportion of faith that you have. Fear not, my people, to step into the waters that I have called you to walk into.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yea, my people, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And I say, let me in. Oh, yea, my people, as my anointing is here, I would ask you, open the door to me. Let me in that I may fill you. Let me in that I may speak through you. Oh, let me in that I may bless others through you. Yes, that my words through you may be a help to them.
Yes, God.
Oh, my people, I say, open that door and soften your heart. Oh, those calluses that are there, oh, not by any intention, but just the calluses that form from daily life. Oh, I want to take those off and soften your heart. And you, oh, my people, as you open that door and let me in and let me fill you, behold, your heart will soften. And as I fill every part of you, behold, you will see that your disposition changes and your outlook changes. Oh, yay, the words that I put, the words that you hear, oh, they are the words that I desire you to speak out. Oh, do not be afraid to speak them out, for they are my words, and they will go forth and they will not return to me void.
Yes, hallelujah.
Prosper thee and to give thee a hope and a future. And yea, I say unto thee, my children, ask largely that your joy may be full. For yea, I have seen you come into my presence and how thou hast bowed down and said, Lord, but just give me a little, for I deserve none. And yea, I say unto thee, thou dost not need to come into my presence with an attitude of regret and remorse, for yea, I say unto thee, what I have chosen to give thee is a cup full and running over, and yea, it is not because thou hast done anything to deserve it, but it is because of my grace and my love toward you. And yea, I say unto thee, when thou dost come into my presence, yea, I say unto thee, ask largely, ask in greatness and ask in fullness, for yea, I have a desire to bless thee and to prosper you.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Fear not to step into the waters, for as the waters refresh the one who steps in, surely my spirit will flow forth in the same way to others and refresh them.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Your faith, the small seed of faith that you had, and is growing it, and will finish the work of the faith, of that faith. And when you're discouraged, just think about those things that are lovely and pure and of good report. You don't not need to dwell on the disappointments and the regrets, but just keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Yea, as I am the light of the world, yea, I am also light within you. Yea, I have placed within you my Holy Spirit, and yea, as you would walk and wait upon me, my Holy Spirit within you would be light that would transform from out of thy being. And it would be light unto others around you. Yea, it is your responsibility to walk with me in the Spirit. For yea, as you would do so, the light that I am within thee would shine forth and do the work that I have for thee to do in the earth, saith the Lord. For yea, the world is so dark, and there is so much fear and trembling. And yet, yea, when they would see this light, they would come unto the light. For the light would reduce the fear, it would give them direction as to where to go, and that they would be able to be safe, and that they would learn of me, saith the Lord. Fear not, but to walk in the Spirit each day with me, saith the Lord, that I might use you to shine forth to others, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I have given you gifts and ministries to be used. The gifts and ministries that I have given you are important, not only to me, saith the Lord, but also to those round about you that you might come in contact with. If you do not minister, there is a lack. So be faithful, take courage, and do what I bid you to do. It is not something that you muster, but it is by the ability and the gift that I have given you. So give freely, even as I have given unto you.
Hallelujah. Yes.
May my people, I say, even as I said through the prophet of old, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Yea, I say unto you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Yea, to heal the brokenhearted, to give comfort to those who mourn, to lift up those who have heavy hands. Yea, I say unto you, that Spirit is strong within you. Yea, allow my Spirit to work within you to do the works that I have shown thee to do. Yea, I say unto you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
For a fish, would you give him a serpent? Yea, you are my sons and daughters, and I would not give you a stone or a serpent, but I would give good things to my people.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
My little ones, you're not to speak the words that I have given you. They may be few, or they may be many, but I know that I want the best for you, and I know what my body has need of. So my little ones, to speak forth what I have given you.
Yes.
Be careful, my little ones, to spend time in my word, to make sure each day that you seek my face. And then as you do seek my face and put me on the throne of your heart, then go forth and make a stand. Dare to be a Daniel. And say in thine heart, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord, and be a light unto those round about you. For you have been placed where you are to meet the needs, and don't be afraid to make a stand and to be that which I have called you to be, saith the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I have been there before time, and I know you, and I knew you before time began. And I want you to know that I love you, and I want you to serve me. I want you to give your life and your heart to me. Do not worry about what is going on in the world and the things that are around you. But center in on me, and I will give you peace and I will give you rest.
Love one another as I have loved you.
Yes, hallelujah. Amen. 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 There's still time. Just enter in if it's only a few words.
Forgive my children as I have forgiven you, saith the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Yea, and I have made you a peculiar people, strange to the world, but do not think it strange, because I have said that my ways are not your ways. The world will not understand me, nor can the natural mind understand my ways. Yea, I say, trust in me. Yea, I say, walk in my paths, and I will direct thee, and I will enlighten thee, and give thee wisdom, and I will show you my ways, so that you may understand. Yea, and you may take your rule in my kingdom. Yea, trust me and seek me, and I will lead thee.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Remember that I have passed from you, your transgressions as far as the east is from the west, and I remember them no more. Yea, my people, I would have you to be at peace at all times. The world, in the world, there is no peace, but I will give thee the peace that passeth all understanding, if thou dost trust in me, saith the Lord.
Yes. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for speaking to us this morning. We give you thanks for speaking to us every day. Help us, O Lord, to have ears to hear what you're saying, and let your word speak to us even as it spoke to the creation in the beginning, and the darkness left, and it became orderly because of the power of your word. And we pray that that word of prophecy would cause us to grow together in Christ in every way. Father, if there are those who were timid or uncertain, who would have liked to have prophesied, we pray, Lord, you'll make provision for them, that they will just continue to rejoice in the Lord and wait upon you, dear Lord, and we know that you'll open the way. We pray that our local churches will be filled with prophetic anointing, dear Lord, a prophetic anointing on the singing, upon the testimonies, upon the word of God, upon the singing of, in the spirit and prophecy, and upon our love, Lord. May our gifts and ministries operate more fully in the years to come, and may we do what was instructed us last night to come to our local churches prepared and to walk with you more diligently than we ever have before. We just thank you for the way you handle us, Lord. The way you treat us is so precious. And we give thanks to you. And the congregation said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
morning, everyone. Can you hear me? I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer for a moment. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've blessed us with a wonderful spirit of prophecy this morning. Your presence has been heavy in our meetings all week, Lord. We just pray that the words that are shared this morning would come from you, Lord, and what you would want to be on the hearts, Lord, of the others, Father. And we just pray that you would continue to have your presence in our meetings, Lord. Amen. Well, what a wonderful week we've had this week. We have had fantastic testimonies. We've had some wonderful songs. We had some children get up and share a little bit. We had fantastic prophecy, a wonderful body ministry last night in our Thanksgiving. And I'm just so grateful to God for what He's given us. And if there's anybody this morning who has reason to be happy, it is us. Amen? Amen? And more than just happy, but to have a joy. And praise God and thank Him for that. This morning I'd like to share just a few notes. I won't be too terribly long. I'm always short at home too. So, but I felt the Lord putting a few things on my heart this week. And I thank Him that He gave me an opportunity to share them. And before we came up here, I was reading a little daily devotional by Billy Graham. And I read something that really stuck with me. He had a story he told about a police officer that came to him at one of his revivals. And he asked him how to have a dynamic walk with the Lord. And that's a pretty good question. And Billy Graham said there's no one secret to having a dynamic walk with the Lord. But two words came to mind, and that was devotion and surrender. And that really spoke to me. And the more I started thinking about how that applied in my own life. And so I'd like to visit about both devotion and surrender a little bit this morning. Brother Sumbo, a couple nights ago, and speaking about being married for 44 years, is that right? And he said that after 44 years of marriage, he looks in the mirror and he wonders what happened. And Brother Sumbo, unfortunately, I've been married far less than 44 years, and I look in the mirror myself. And I'm kind of wondering what happened. You still have a pretty good mane up there. But praise God, I guess it keeps us humble. But you can't have a good marriage if you don't have devotion. You must completely devote yourself to your spouse. And I see a lot of those who have been married for many years nodding their head at me right now. And I think that's something that you learn early on in your marriage, that if it's going to be a happy next 50 years or however long the Lord gives you, that you better learn to devote yourself to your spouse. Not just your spouse, but to the idea of marriage altogether. And if you do that, then you're going to have a pretty good run at it. If not, you're going to have a lot of trials and struggles, and you're going to miss out on a wonderful opportunity. And the same way is with our Lord. We need to constantly be in communication with Him. All the time. And we live, and this is no surprise to anybody, but we live in dark days. We live in evil times. We do. If you don't believe me, just turn on the news for 5 minutes or look at a newspaper. Everywhere you see, there is darkness. And we read in the Word that in the last days, good will be seen as evil and evil will be seen as good. And I think we're seeing that fulfilled today. I do. And in this time, we cannot afford to not be in constant communication with our power source, with our Lord and Savior. We can't, because every one of us in here is vulnerable. We all are. We have an enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the way that we prevent that from happening is by staying true to the Lord and in constant communication with Him. If you would, I'd like to turn in our Bibles to, let's go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse is where I'll start. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Does that sound like an enemy that we can fall asleep on, that we don't have to take seriously? When he prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, that sounds like a legitimate enemy. And that sounds like one that we better be on our toes for. And we see evidence of him prowling around all the time, don't we? And what we can do to protect ourselves is to stay close to our Heavenly Father. I've got two sons. The way that they stay out of harm's way is by listening to their parents. We teach them to look both ways before they go across the street. We're constantly looking over their shoulder, telling them what they need to do to be safe, because we love them. We don't want harm to fall for them to be in harm's way. It is the same way with our Lord and Savior. We must communicate with Him daily. And I think in our prayer life, it has to be more than 5 or 10 minutes. We need to pray before every meal, yes. We need to ask the Lord to bless it. We need to thank Him for providing it. But we need to spend serious time on our knees daily. Not just at church camp, not the week before church camp. Not just when trials come our way, but constantly. And it's easy to fall into a routine where we don't give the Lord enough time in our day. You see, our time here on earth is a precious resource. And it's fleeting. I mean, if we live a long life, we get 75 years, maybe 80, if we're healthy and the Lord gives us good health. That's not very long. If you took all the people that have lived on this earth since God created it, we'd be like grains of sand on a gigantic beach. So our time here is so short, and that time is a precious gift from God. I'm a young man still, but and I don't say this to embarrass him, but my oldest son is in the dorms this year. And so Monday I took his stuff into the dorms, and when I walked in that door, it was so familiar because it seemed like I just walked out of there yesterday. Maybe parents can relate to me. It seems like I just left that dorm. It was just like last week where I was hiding from the guys with the flashlights at night. You know, my son doesn't do this, but but it didn't seem like it was that long ago. I have a son in there now. That's really hard for me to believe. And for those who are grandparents and things, I'm sure time goes by even faster as you get to that stage of life. So we know our days here are short. They disappear. So our time, if it's such a wonderful resource, what do we spend it on? What are the things that take priority in our life? And anything that takes priority in our life, it's easy to be able to determine if it is or isn't by how much time we spend on it. So what do we spend our time on every day? Do we spend it on, like Brother Sumbo? I also like sports. I'm a big Cubs fan. I'm used to disappointment, but I enjoy sports. So I like watching the Cubs game. It's normally entertaining. But what do we spend our time on? Do we spend it on sports? Do we spend it on social media sites? Do we spend it on movies? What do we spend it on? And I'm not saying those things are wrong or are evil, but we have to make sure that above all else, our time is spent in prayer and meditation, seeking what the Lord has for us. That is absolutely vital. It's more important than the food we eat every day and the water we drink. When we think about it, if we get in our busy routines, when we leave here, we're all going to go home. And a lot of us can go back to our jobs or to school or to taking care of a household. And we're going to get back in our routine. And I think that the enemy tries to distract us. And so in our routine, our days get filled up with fluff. Stuff that really isn't that important when you stop and think about it. But yet at the time, we think it's really important that we get to practice here on time and we get here and there on time. But when we go home, let's take this to heart. The majority of our time, the biggest percentage of all the time that God gives us for the day is spent in communication with Him. And not just a quick prayer, but fervent prayer to Him. And as we do that, we'll find that we are greater protected against this enemy that prowls like a roaring lion. Our Lord and Savior was the only innocent man who ever walked this earth. And he came to this earth willingly to give his life for us. And he was put into a trial that was stacked against him from the first moment. And he was found guilty and he was flogged and beaten. And then he was put on his head a crown made of thorns. And he was forced to march across through the city streets, while others shouted insults at him and spit on him. And then he was hung on that tree. And he died a very slow and painful death. And not only did he die just a natural death, but there was a time where all of our sins were on his shoulder. And even his father had to turn his head from him for a moment, and he became unrecognizable because of the agony that he was in at that moment. Now, when we think of this and we think of this moment, it makes it very hard for me to tell the Lord at the end of the day that I am too tired to pray to him. It makes it very hard for me when I set my alarm in the morning to sleep in an extra half an hour instead of getting up half an hour earlier to pray to him before I start my day. And maybe it will for you as well. But when we really stop and think about what he has done for us and what he offers us, it makes me kind of ashamed that there are times where I will let a day get by and I know in my heart I have not given him enough time. And so we have to remember this when we're on a trip or we're on vacation or the kids have just worn you out and you're laying on the couch at night watching SportsCenter. We have to remember this, that we must make time for the person, for our Savior, who was willing to go through all that torture for us. And the thing is that when we do give him that time, we find that you just can't outgive God. We find that as we give him whatever time in our day, as we make that sacrifice, if you want to call it that, that we cannot outgive God. It's kind of like my son. He's on a fixed income. He gets an allowance once a week. He can't outgive his dad right now because I have a job. Now, his job's important, too. He has a bunch of chores. But it's the same way with God, our Heavenly Father. We have a fixed income. Okay, we have a $5 a week allowance, but we cannot outgive God. And when we give to him our time, when we seek him with our hearts, what we receive in return is far greater than anything else we could ever ask for. Amen? I'm new at this, so if you feel like saying amen, yell amen. It encourages me. All right, there we go. Very good. The second part that we must do is we have to learn to surrender to God. And this is one, to me, that is easier said than done. It is easy to sing the song, I surrender all. It's easy to tell, Lord, Lord, I give you all. That's really difficult to do. As humans, we like to gather things that we think have meaning. We like to put value into different things. We even like to, you know, today everything's about your identity. Everybody's got to be unique. You know, this is my identity. This is who I am. You know, I'm just this way. This is just the type of guy I am. It is tough to come to your knees and to say, Lord, it's all yours. Everything. The relationships in my life that I put great value in belong to you. Whatever you've blessed me with that I may think I've achieved, it belongs to you. See, if the Lord has done some really good things in you, it's good to know this. He probably did it in spite of you. Most likely not because of you. So all these, if you have victories in your life, they all belong to God. And we need to surrender them to him. You see, God is calling together a people that will always point to him in everything in their life. And he's using us in this room to be a city on a hill.
one that people can see. We discuss, we live in dark times. We work with people who have not seen the light. We go out in every day into society, in our jobs and in our schools and with our friends, with a bunch of people who do not know the joy that we feel this morning. And it is our job to make sure that we surrender whatever God has given us to His glory. And those around us will see that, and your actions always speak louder than your words. It is very easy to say, well, I've been blessed. I thank God. He's been good to me. You're right. I do have very beautiful children. God's been good. It's easy to say that. And I'm accurate when I say that. I have wonderful children. I thank God for them every day. But when a non-believer hears us talking, like we heard in our testimonies, I think Deanna said their night or the other morning when they were giving their testimony about their daughter, Kelty, when she was in the hospital and she had stopped breathing. When a non-believer hears somebody like Deanna say, I gave it to God and I had peace. You see, that speaks really loud. And those around us, they see that. And it's evident to them that that person has something that they want. And the Lord has given us such a charge to make sure that we are mirrors reflecting back to Him. And we must surrender all these things. I'll give you an example of what not to do with surrender. I tell a lot of personal stories because I'm fairly boring and I'm not very creative. So I'm going to share with you a story of what not to do. Recently, where I work, we work in the oil and gas industry, and it's a fun business to be in. Recently, we had to let an employee go because they failed a drug test. And so in our industry, you constantly are testing all your employees because we work in a fairly dangerous industry. So this employee was a little disgruntled and a little upset, and so they thought, well, I have an idea how to get back at them. I'm going to go to the EPA, which is the Environmental Protection Agency in the U.S., and I'm going to tell them that this company has been pouring barrels of oil in the Colorado River. No, obviously that wasn't happening for what it's worth, but I had a very special law officer phone me one afternoon. And she informed me she reports directly to the Department of Justice, and that she had me dead to rights for several charges. At our company, I have a position of responsibility, so unfortunately, I was one that this fell on. So for about an hour and a half, this lady interrogated me, and I've been in tense situations before, and I've been in difficult conversations before, but nothing could have prepared me for this lady. She was very gifted in her interrogation skills. You see it on TV where they have the light over you and things. We were just over the phone, but she was very effective. When I got off the phone with her, I wanted to get in the fetal position and cry for a little while. as she was barking at me, she let me know that there was three charges she had on a hardened criminal, like myself, and each one of them carried 5-year sentence and a $100,000 fine. Now, while she's going on, I'm doing the math in my head, and I'm thinking 15 years, I got a 6-year-old to 13. Oh, no. You know? And the youngest one is a two-parent child. He needs both his mom and his dad in the household. And so while I'm thinking about 15 years in prison, all these things are running in my mind. Now, I knew that nothing had happened and that we were innocent and everything was okay, but this lady really rattled me. And at one point, I was stammering a little bit and stuttering and taking a little while to respond, and my voice was probably a little trembly. And she said, Mr. Snoke, is somebody there coaching you on this conversation? No, ma'am. I said, I'm just not used to having somebody threaten me for 15 years in prison very often, so I'm kind of off my A game, you know. I'm sorry. But this lady had me on the run, and no matter what I said, she turned it around on me. So if I said the sky was blue, she made me feel guilty for saying the sky was blue. And she was, like I said, very effective. So when I hung up with her on the phone, I picked up the phone, and instead of stopping to pray, like I should have done, I started calling attorneys right away because I figured 15 years in prison, I got to do my part here. So I assembled a EPA dream team of lawyers, if you will.
So I got two attorneys to come over from Denver right away. I hired a Brother Sumbo's son as an environmental engineer, and we didn't have one that good, but we hired an environmental engineer, and I got everybody in this room together. And we had this long conversation on what we were going to do. We're going to do this, 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 this. I'm getting these reports, these reports. We don't even have oil in our facility, so it would be very difficult to pour it into the river. But we're still going through all of our cleaners and everything in our facility that could be deemed hazardous or unwanted. And I get a file put together. My file's pretty thick, and you know, the attorneys are scheming with me, and they're helping me. Okay, when she calls back, we're going to tell her this, this, and this, and we're going to write this letter, and the environmental engineer, they're putting all these protocol plans in so when they come into our office, they can see that, boy, these guys are serious about protecting the environment, and they would never be the type to pour oil in the river. And I prayed about this when I went home that night and the next day and the next day because I'm really worried. And the more I think about it, I know I'm innocent, but still when somebody threatens you to go to prison, it gets your attention. I mean, I'm not perfect by any stretch of imagination, but I've never been in jail. And I don't think I'm the personality. I don't think it would end well. I don't. So this is eating me up, and I'm thinking about this a lot. And one night when I was on my knees in prayer, I felt it so clear, the Lord speaking to me. And he didn't say dummy, but I sure felt dumb. But he told me, he said, Nick, am I not in control of everything? And the thing is, if you go to prison, didn't I take care of Joseph when he went to prison? And if he goes to prison, if you go to prison, isn't that my will for you? And do you want to fight my will? Now, as men, when there's a problem, we fix it. You know, I fix bicycle chains all the time and flat tires. This is what I do. I'm a dad. That's what you do. So I'm used to seeing a problem and fixing a problem. It's in our nature as guys, I believe. I think this is harder for guys than women. But it's in our nature to fix things. So if somebody's going to threaten me to go to prison, it's in my nature to hire a bunch of attorneys and a bunch of scientists and all this stuff and make a gigantic circus of it. But God is always in control of my life. And we have to surrender everything to him. And I tell you, that night, I had a peace when I got done praying. Because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to try to stay out of jail. But if you want me to go to prison, then so be it. And if you want me to walk through this trial, then, Lord, I know you're right next to me through this time. And, Lord, if there's a lesson for me to learn in this, may you not let this trial pass until I've learned that lesson. But I surrender this to you, Lord. I surrender my future to you. Because it was always his to begin with. He just had to let me know. And so that's what you don't want to do. But give these things to God. So many times we hold back and we hold on to these things. And I feel there was words to a Christian song that I used to sing a long time ago that have always stuck to me. And it says, let it go and turn it over to the one who chose to give his life for you. There's a lot of wisdom in that. It's easy to get in the heat of battle and to forget some of these things. We go into panic mode far too often. I go into panic mode. I won't speak for you. I go into panic mode far too often thinking that I have to do something. But it's not up to me. And saints of God, this morning, it's not up to you either. We need to surrender everything to our Lord and Savior and thank him for that. As we surrender and spend time in devotion to the Lord. You know, devotion to the Lord is prayer and reading our Bible. But don't forget to pray in the Spirit on a daily basis. It is also vital to our walk with the Lord. Praying in the Spirit, in that unknown tongue, is so edifying to our souls. And if you haven't had the opportunity to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, this week isn't done yet. And I would be seeking the Lord and asking him that if that opportunity would be there for you, that you would
take advantage of it still this week if the altar's opened up again. I heard it said one time that if salvation is the vehicle that gets us to heaven, the Holy Spirit is the fuel with inside that vehicle. And that's really true. And so I would just encourage you to seek the Lord's will for you, and as I said, to take advantage of that baptism of the Holy Spirit. But speaking in tongues is more than something you do when you're first baptized up front, when the presbytery prays with you. It needs to become part of your daily devotion to God. As we do that, the Lord's Holy Spirit comes upon us, and it gives us a strength and a peace that surpasses all understanding. This scripture was read a couple times last night, but we're going to go to it one more time in Philippians, the fourth chapter. We'll start at the sixth verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That peace of God that which we have is such a wonderful gift. It is so wonderful. And when we see it in the Lord's saints in an encouraging week like this, we heard Brother Dave come up and talk about cancer. He wasn't upset about God, and he wasn't even fearful. And if you're in the world, you look at that and you think, well, that person's crazy. And a lot of people probably do that with Brother Dave, but not in this situation. When they hear somebody like Deanna talking about having a peace with their child, to the outside world, they think, you're crazy. When they see you and you tell your lawyers, hey, back off, it's going to be okay with this EPA thing, the guys that charge a lot of money an hour and who are very well qualified say, well, you're kind of being a fool right here. And you say, well, I know, but you're my counsel, so we're going to do this. They think you're crazy. But the peace that God gives us is such a wonderful, wonderful gift. And we need to take hold of that peace and do everything in our lives to allow the Lord to work greater in us, that we might have a greater measure of His peace. And that peace surpasses all human understanding. It's not of this world. You see, it's divine. It's from God. And what a wonderful gift He gives us in that peace. And we get that peace and that strength through the Lord's Holy Spirit, the great comforter that He gives us here on earth. I was visiting with Brother Daryl at the beginning of the week, and I said, you know, this week, I just want more of the Lord. I just want a greater touch of His Holy Spirit. And he asked me a great question. He said, well, how do you do that? That's a pretty good question. It made me think. And I think the answer to that is, if I want to have more of the Holy Spirit and more of the Lord's influence in my life, I have to have less of Nick and my influence in my life. You see, I have to surrender everything that's within me. We come here to camp, and it's so wonderful to see our friends and our family that we get to see once, twice, three times a year. But we come here, and we're planning. We got this going. We've got that going. We get to camp, and, well, I like to play basketball, so we're going to do this and that. We have to come here, and we just have to completely surrender. Lord, I am a blank slate. I don't want any of Nick to be evident this week. None. I don't want to have a single thought that is influenced by me this week. Please save me from myself. Fill me with your Holy Spirit this week. Don't let a word out of my mouth be self-serving or talking about myself or any kind of foolish agenda that I may have. Lord, let every word and thought be you. Nothing else. And if I look like a fool because I'm on my knees crying and wailing out to you, God, it is your will. But do with me whatever you want. I just pray that I don't influence myself this week. Be in me in a mighty, mighty way. So many times, I don't know if you've ever seen the Hoover Dam, pictures of it or not, but I feel like that's my spiritual walk a lot of times. I feel like there's a trickle on one side, and that's the part where I let God work in my life. And I put all these walls up that make a gigantic dam that hold back billions of gallons of water on the other side. And my prayer this morning, and I think all of our prayers should be, Lord, remove the dams in my life. We have such a wonderful, wonderful blessing, awesome Savior on the other side that we put these walls up between He and us. Let Him go. Let Him go. I just pray that every one of us for the rest of this week and when we go home would spend our time in prayer on removing the dam and letting His water flood over us. So I'll just I'll close with that. I don't know if there's any announcements. I was the brother and asked that I would mention that tonight, if the children would have anything to share, a song or a verse or maybe something they're thankful of, anything that they may have prepared. The camp's kind of getting towards the end of the week, and we want to make sure there's plenty of time left for the young ones to enter in as well. So.
I don't know if everyone's heard, but unfortunately, our helper in the kitchen, the young fellow.
I just want to say I'd like to meet with the traveling brethren. Maybe right after lunch, we might be able to meet in that other room over there. A few things we need to accomplish before the week's out, and we just need to make a plan for it.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for blessing us this morning, for Your presence being in our midst, Lord. For Your Holy Spirit being in our hearts today, Lord. We just pray, Father, as we leave here, that we would allow You to do the works that You have in mind for us, Lord, and in our lives. And Lord, that we would always look to You and to give everything completely to You, Father. Lord, we pray for Eric's niece this morning, Lord, who's in the kitchen helping us this week. Lord, we pray that whatever the situation is, that Your hand would be upon her. And Lord, that your grace would be on her and You would give her strength and help her in this time of need, Father. We pray that You would bless the food to our body and bless our activities this afternoon. Amen.